nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you ripe when you don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer.
All in the Garden on KFSK is brought to you by The Flower Farm. Open for the season with blooming pansies, pansy bags and baskets, and offering locally grown flowers, vegetable starts and herbs, as well as a variety of trees, shrubs, lilacs and rhododendrons. The Flower Farm, open every day except Wednesday, 10 to 5, 6 Rory's Road, Pathkeys Landing. Good afternoon, everyone. You're listening to KFSK's In the Garden. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson, and with us on the phone all the way from Juneau is Ed Bajarski, our master gardener extraordinaire. Good afternoon, Ed.
Hi there, Mindy.
And how are you doing on this drizzly day?
Oh, just came inside and trying to stay dry. It's miserable out there. It's here, at least, it's a little bit of chunky style stuff coming down, and it's wet. We've had probably an inch of rain since yesterday. And a friend of mine in Haines said he's gotten, well, this is hours ago, he'd had 2 inches of new snow on the ground. Not much like spring.
No. No, especially since the 1st of May is just around the corner next week. But, I was hoping today, Ed, you had mentioned talking about potatoes, and I bet there's somebody listening right now who's never planted a potato before. And I was wondering if we should just start from the very beginning on, what we do if we want to try planting some potatoes.
Sure. Probably the most important thing to start with is getting some good seed potatoes to plant. And that's important. Rather than using, if you've got some leftover potatoes from the store, they've been under your kitchen sink for some months and they're starting to sprout. You go, I'll just plant those, and that'll be good enough. Because they're sprouting, obviously they're going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first no-no for a couple of reasons. One, those eating potatoes from the grocery store have not been inspected for certain potato diseases, essentially. I mean, they can be grown in the field. These are some that cannot be, that is not sold for seed growing.
Mm-hmm.
For crossing state lines, most of our eating potatoes come from some other state, whether it be Washington, Oregon, Idaho, California, somewhere else anyway. And there are some specific prohibitions in Alaska about not bringing in seed potatoes from Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and California because of the specific diseases they have. There are some other states that it's legal to do that from. North Dakota is one. There's a bunch of others, actually. Wisconsin, Maine, Colorado, big potato growing areas. But there are certified seed potato growers in Alaska, a bunch of them, and I'm becoming one of them, though we don't have any really to sell this year, but next year we will. We're growing them up in Haines. We've kind of mentioned them in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And so we end up having to have summertime inspection of the plants growing in the field by a fellow up out of Palmer, and then a wintertime inspection of the potatoes in the root cellar where we're storing them to look for specific diseases. Now, this fellow, Bill Campbell, he's the potato expert in Palmer. He actually his agency supplies some of the very first new seed potatoes grown via sterile culture, initially in the lab and then inside greenhouses, before they go out into the fields. So that's the first thing to get, is some high quality seed that has been inspected to be seed potatoes.
Okay. And we can look that up on the internet.
You can, and mm-hmm. there is, right, and I don't, unfortunately, I can't give you the link right offhand. Maybe I can get that for you,
mm-hmm.
but that actually has a listing of the Alaska seed potato growers, and you might be able to just Google that and get the list that way, and otherwise, Bill Campbell and Palmer, and among other people with the Division of Agriculture could get that to individual people, or if somebody wanted to, ideally you would get together on some sort of a bulk order to get 25 to 50 pounds at a time, as opposed to some of these people will sell small quantities, others will only sell, you know, 50-pound bags or boxes of a variety also.
Okay. And but I am assuming that, you know, when different stores in town are carrying seed potatoes, they've been inspected and it's been okay to sell those potatoes.
Maybe not.
All right.
Unfortunately, depending where they're getting from, a lot of folks are getting seed potatoes through their normal produce suppliers.
Uh-huh.
And if and you should be able to, you know, if you go to your local supplier, whoever that is, there are supposed to be these, usually they're blue tags on the boxes. You know, you may be able to pick the potatoes that you want out of the boxes, but there should be these blue inspection tags that say what state they come from, that they have been inspected.
Okay.
And again, so I wouldn't necessarily assume that they are all legal to be sold in Alaska. Unfortunately, it can be a challenge to get those potatoes down to southeast Alaska from the interior. If you've ever tried getting anything from Anchorage, the freight can be a challenge. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So we do the best we can to have good quality seed potatoes. And certainly, if you're growing your own, then and have a place to store them from last fall, you know, you can reuse your own seed potatoes. And again, you know, any grower ought to be, any of us ought to be looking very carefully when we choose our potatoes to store, if we want to keep them for seed, that they don't have diseases. Any obvious disease like potato scab, which is unfortunately all too common. And once you have it in your soil, you pretty much have it forever.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
There's no chemicals that you can use to sterilize your soil. You can't just not grow potatoes on it for 5 years and hope that it's gone away, because it doesn't. It stays in the soil.
There
are a few varieties then are resistant to scab. And then the other ones, well, you plant them and hope for the best, and otherwise you just peel your potatoes if you've got ugly, scabby potatoes when you grow them in the fall.
Okay. You know, I know we'll get back right on to the planting of the potato, but we took our potato soil, because it's such good soil, and put it into our new garden bed this year. And what about planting other things using that soil after it's had potato scab? Is you just get that soil's just not going to be good anymore for anything, or just potatoes?
No, it's just the scab organism only affects potatoes.
Okay.
So if you're growing carrots or turnips or broccoli or lettuce, Swiss chard, peas, no problem there.
Okay.
You know, you amend your soil with whatever fertilizer you're using. That part's fine.
Okay.
The problem is just that you have potato scab.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that, the few varieties, and normally a good catalog, or again, you can, again, do that research online for scab-resistant potato varieties. That's something to type in when you're doing a search. And, I mean, Yellowfin is one variety. The russet potatoes tend to be scab-resistant, but, I mean, they're not, certainly not a potato I like to grow, because I don't like the taste of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's that too. So sometimes you just have to say, well, I guess I'll put up with scab because I like these particular variety of tasty potatoes. Yukon Gold, it's a wonderful eating potato, stores very well, even though it's fairly early, but it does get scab. So, you know, you say, okay, I'll deal with it.
Okay.
But at least in your general growing conditions, you want to be rotating your crops, that is, not planting the same crop, like the same cabbage family. You don't follow with more cabbage, you know, whether and broccoli and cauliflower and cabbage and turnips and rutabagas and radishes are all related, so you don't want to be planting those same things in the same bed year after year. Likewise with potatoes, you do something different, you know, and ideally a three-year rotation would be good of different things in the beds or boxes that you're growing.
Okay. So let's say we have some really good seed potatoes. We've, you know,
okay.
found some up north, and or you know,
wherever,
got them here in town.
Wherever you get them,
and
from.
We have them, and we're ready to
and
go.
It, yeah. Okay. So you're holding potatoes in your hot little hands.
Okay.
And I mean, if I have a choice when I'm choosing potatoes out of, you know, whatever boxes or, you know, potatoes that are available, I prefer to choose the smaller potatoes so that I am, I mean, if possible, I'll go to plant something, say the size of a ping pong ball, or even small, even half that size. As long as they've got what you want is one or two good eyes. And again, if you are taking potatoes out of storage, as I was just doing up in Haines this couple days ago, and looking at the potatoes, some of them sprout much more quickly than others. Some store longer without sprouting. So that's something to think about if you're wanting to grow potatoes that store a very long time, last through the winter, that you get some of those that don't sprout so quickly, and that is normally what's considered late, early mid-season and late potatoes. The early ones usually sprout sooner, so need to be eaten sooner, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can get some nice sprouts before we go to plant our potatoes, if we can get, say, a half-inch to a one-inch sprout on our potatoes, terrific. That means they've got, that's a week's worth of growth that we can influence by bringing our potatoes like we did out of cold storage, where it was just 35 degrees,
mm-hmm.
to a warmer place, say 50 to 60 degrees, and that warmth will help encourage them to sprout before we plant them. So do that first. And then once, and I don't cut potatoes if I've got big potatoes that need to be cut into smaller chunks with an eye on each one. Normally I only cut those the same day that I'm going to be planting them into the smaller pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Cutting them ahead of time doesn't really gain us anything. We don't normally have a problem with additional disease issues or otherwise that would get on those cut surfaces.
Okay.
So then you've got, hopefully you have that warm, dry, sunny, well-drained location, right?
Mm-hmm.
that's where your garden beds or boxes are, wherever you're going to be planting. Or you've got this nice little island out there somewhere in the middle of nowhere that I know some people plant their potatoes on in the spring and then cover them with seaweed and come back in the fall and harvest.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of an old traditional method. But again, they need as much sun as we can give them, as much bright light as we can give them if it's not sunny like today. And we planting them in really cold soil essentially just puts them back into refrigerator mode, and they aren't going to grow until the soil warms up.
Mm-hmm.
So again, hopefully you've had your soil covered with clear plastic,
mm-hmm.
So it's warmer and it's a bit drier. And the soil microorganisms are waking up and working on your compost or fertilizer that could already been mixed into those beds. And then go ahead and take those pieces that you cut or whole small potatoes. And I normally dig trenches and put fertilizer down the bottom of a trench. And I'm digging, a 6-inch deep trench with a hoe or something like that down the beds. Sprinkle fertilizer down in the bottom of that trench and mix it in the soil a little bit, and then set the potatoes, if you can take the time and set them with the eye pointing up, that's a good thing too.
Okay.
And then just barely cover them with, and maybe an inch or two of soil is all. And then the whole thing gets covered with clear plastic again. And so then you've got kind of this little mini greenhouse, because if you think about this, if you're good at visualizing while listening on the radio, you've got kind of a mini greenhouse there. You know, the space, the potatoes are still down in a bit of a trench. Plastic goes over the top, and so there's kind of an airspace above the potatoes in the soil, and that should warm up a bit. And then you can watch for the next several weeks and not uncover those things until they do get some growth, you know, start growing a couple of inches up out of the ground.
Okay, it's a cozy little place for the potatoes. Mm-hmm. How deep are the potatoes when we're planting them? You're digging the trench, and so, you know, like I said, this is for somebody who's never planted potatoes before.
Sure.
You've got this area, and how deep is the soil going to be underneath? I mean, how much do you need underneath your potato?
Not very much.
That's what I thought.
Since the new potatoes grow from the side of the stem that grows up from the potato chunk that you just put in that soil, you know, you're going to have some roots down below, but even the roots are coming off of that stem that grows out of the potato. So you could, essentially, you could start out on your driveway, set your potato chunk on your driveway, cover them with 3 inches of snow. I hope not.
You've got snow on your mind.
3 inches of soil, and then they grow up 4 inches, and you add some more soil on top. So you don't really need much for soil underneath those potatoes. The new roots and the new potatoes are growing above that seed piece. So again, if you've got, you know, sandy, if you've got relatively poor soil out there in the garden, this way you can be, you know, you maybe you'll make your box on top of this poor soil, whatever you have. Maybe it is an old driveway, who knows, that you're using. And then during, for the next month and a half, you can be adding layers of soil, because as these new potatoes grow up, these sprouts grow up, we want to hill them up. We want to let them grow 3 inches and then cover them with 2 inches of soil. And then grow another 3 inches and add a few more inches of soil. Again, because these new potatoes are growing up on that, off that stem. So that's where they're growing up higher. And if we can keep adding the soil or some nice loose soil mixed with seaweed, if you had some old rotten sawdust, some really well-rotted compost, that kind of stuff, mixed with sand, they'll grow in that stuff. And some people down south, where it's more available, have even done that, start out on firm soil, put the potato down, and cover them up with hay, and then they grow up. And the hay rots, I mean, ideally old rotted hay. And then you, at the end of the summer, you pull apart this loosely rotted hay, and the potatoes are nice and clean, and you just pick them out of there.
Yeah, that's, we used some hay in the school garden last year for those, hay and other things, and we actually put the potatoes in crab pots, just round crab pots that are lined up, so they're all just in their own little little pot. And yeah, we've got some good potatoes out of that. And but yeah, hay, whatever
mean,
we could come
like
up with.
In crab pots or dungy pots?
These are dungy pots, round ones.
Okay.
Yeah, they're
right,
not the big, huge square ones,
well,
but yeah, lined them with a little bit of garden fabric on the bottom, so everything kind of stays in a little bit, and then and then after we took the potatoes out, the we just took the soil and threw them on top of the beds, the garden beds and the hay and everything that was there, and to just kind of use on top and let that sit over the winter time. So now it's time to put new stuff back into the the crab pots.
Okay, terrific.
So something
well,
a little different.
That sounds like uniquely Southeast method. I mean, I know folks, some people have done the same kind of thing with old tires. And I'm, you know, that used to be promoted, but not so much anymore for several reasons. Partly because tires do leach out some chemicals that are not especially good for us. I mean, and you think about, oh, I'm recycling tires. Well, yeah, that's nice, but the worst thing is trying to get rid of tires when you're finally done recycling them like that. I don't know about you, but for us, $10 to get rid of one tire, old tire at the dump. I suppose then you just get these big piles of old tires. But you, the chemicals that leach out of them are not great. And the other thing is that slugs love tires for habitat. You know, in living inside underneath those tires and is another thing that's a problem. So at least for folks who may have thought about that doing that, I would discourage that at least. But at least around Juneau, we just last summer, fall, got new, a lot of people, most people got new garbage cans, new, can't say bear resistant, well, they're bear, slightly bear resistant for a not persistent bear. But so there's lots of old garbage cans, plastic garbage cans laying around. So I know folks who do that. You know, they punch lots of holes in the bottom and sides of the garbage cans. And same thing, plant the potatoes down in a shallow layer of soil in the bottom and then gradually fill them up. And then at the end of the summer, you dump the garbage can over and hopefully they're chock full of potatoes.
Hmm, interesting.
You know, so that way if you get an old garbage can that's, you know, has seen its better days, you know, that's, clean it out first would be good. But that's something that you can also do with that. And like you say, using the gardening fabric to line something like that, some sort of small framework that'll hold it, works well too.
Yeah.
And again, that's a good way, really growing potatoes in relatively new ground is a good way to kind of loosen up the ground because you're digging it in the spring and then you're digging it up again in the fall. So that's a good way to kind of prepare for and improve things for another crop to follow.
Right. I love potatoes. I love the fact that they get their, you know, the tops of the potatoes, the plant is so big. And then just what, you know, just being able to dig up and take away all the dirt, it's like Christmas. You know, you just keep digging for...
Oh, and if you, you know,
and
if
you're successful...
An assortment of different colors of potatoes, reds and yellows and purples and whites and all. I mean, it's almost like an Easter egg hunt even. It's, yeah, or, you know, like you say, digging up all these new, nice, colorful potatoes. And, in fact, I've got my, you know, my little dog likes to eat potatoes, raw potatoes. So, I mean, I have to toss her a potato every now and then when she's out there supervising my potato digging because otherwise she'll be right there and hauling them off. And so we've got to distract her with one of her own.
So, Ed, we've got these wonderful, the season has gone by. We've done everything we're supposed to for the potatoes. Do you suggest any sort of fertilizer beside a compost, anything like that?
Well, potatoes are not real heavy feeders.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you, the old standard recommendation, give you chemical fertilizer and then some organics. You know, Jim Douglas, along our former extension agent, what liked 832-16. And for that kind of a standard general garden application is 2.5 pounds per 100 square feet in a garden that you can work it in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for the potatoes, like I mentioned, I'm using, I've got some balanced fertilizer I use. It's a 4-4-4 blend. And I try to do that. I mentioned I dig the trench 6 or 8 inches deep, sprinkle fertilizer down the trench, and then work it in the bottom of that trench.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you can use the chemical fertilizer in the same way. But just like with planting, this is kind of like with planting bulbs, you know, not that much different.
Right.
Except normally you plant those deeper to start with. But again, you normally don't want to have the potato bulb, the potato tuber, touching the fertilizer too much. With the organics, it's not so likely to burn the roots on them, where chemical fertilizers, you can definitely overdo it.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you're not going that deep. But yeah, if you've got some high-quality compost, what you don't want to use is fresh manure, because fresh manures can also can have the scab organism in it also. And the more sandy the soil is, the better drained the soil is, the less likely we are to have scab problems.
Mm-hmm.
That if we're trying to plant them in straight muskeg, which there's a lot of that in Southeast. I mean, I've gardened in it, certainly in Petersburg, Wrangell, and Sitka, and, well, most of my ground here started out as straight muskeg, that I'm always trying to add more sand to improve the drainage, and that makes the potatoes grow better in the long run.
Okay, Ed, what is the best way to store our potatoes once we've dug them up? I know it's that's like for in the garden down the road,
that's 4 or 5 months from now.
Yeah.
But still, that's something worth thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
And cool and somewhat moist.
Mm-hmm.
Again, doing the research, ideally 40 degrees or lower, down to about 30 to 32 degrees. They normally don't freeze because they've got, as the potatoes get colder, the starches turn to sugars, which are essentially work as some antifreeze. So it isn't until you get down to 27 or so that you'll get freezing. And we were real careful and lucky, actually, that we had only a few at one outside edge that were closest to the outside wall of the storage area that got too cold. We lost about 5 to 10 pounds out of 600. So we got lucky there. But so temperatures are very important. In my root cellar that I have buckets of water in the bottom upon which I set boxes of potatoes so that the buckets of water work as a heat and cold sink, and hopefully that the buckets of water don't freeze before, you know, and they would freeze before the potatoes would normally. So again, we want cold but not freezing, dark so they don't sprout. And so wherever you can find that, if for those few folks in, not so many people in Southeast have basements, but if you had a cold corner of a basement or a cold corner of a garage could potentially work, or a crawl space underneath a house that you can get access to. That's sometimes a challenge if you're hauling buckets or boxes of potatoes into it. Someplace that you've got access and that you want to check it then during the winter, or any problems with check for temperature, check to see that there isn't anything rotting in there. So that's why you got to make sure you only plant, put away the very best of your potatoes that you dug in the fall. You eat all those scabby ones, anything that got damaged, anything that you speared with the garden fork, and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, and we'll talk about that again, and even to the timing as far as looking at, oh, well, the potatoes are flowering. So, which is probably June to early July, and that means they're setting new little potatoes, and then we can rob a few at that point. And even as the potatoes are growing, the plants are growing, we can even spray the plants with a liquid fertilizer, a diluted liquid fertilizers. And whether that might be the seaweed, we talked about making the seaweed or weed juice tea.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of thing, you know, you can actually dilute it again and spray it on leaves, and that can help. That's absorbed by the plants, and then again helps in the plant growth and potato growth in the long run. And there's other plants benefit by that too.
Okay, like onions. I wanted to talk about onions. I don't know if we really have time today. Maybe we can touch on that next week a little bit.
Sure. Yep.
About planting some onions. Last year I bought some very nice heirloom onions from Territorial, and they were wonderful. Loved them, loved the variety. And I'd love to talk about planting the heirloom onions, or any onion, for next week if we could.
Sure. Well, the day before yesterday, I had ordered a bunch of onion plants.
Uh-huh.
And planted the first batch of them along with leeks up in Haines. So, again, yeah, that's a good one. The onion sets should be available now in stores.
Uh-huh.
Onions, starting them from seed, should have been done back about 2 months ago because they're extremely slow.
Right.
You know, so it wouldn't be the sort of thing you would start now. But, yeah, if you've got sets or can get plants, definitely now is the time that you could plant them. Even cool as it is, they can go in the ground. Along with spinach can go in the ground now, radishes could go in the ground now, turnips.
Beets.
So some of the crops that will tolerate cool soil, or hopefully you've already warmed up your soil with all that clear plastic, and much we hate to say it, benefit the oil companies, but we need it. We've gotten addicted to it.
That's right, we do. Yep. Okay. This was very informative. I hope listeners out there, you know, pick themselves up some seed potatoes and go for it, because it's
not
hard to do.
And let's just hope that the sunshine comes back sometime soon.
Yes. We can't keep them all covered forever. We got to get in there and garden.
Right. Yeah, get a big dome, cover the whole lot. That's why I keep dreaming about that.
Okay, Ed, thanks a bunch, and we'll be talking to you next Thursday on What's for Dinner. That's the other show, In the Garden.
Okay.
All right. Good. Have a good one.
Yep.
Bye-bye. And thanks again to Ed Byarski for joining us for the show, In the Garden. We enjoy having him. If you miss any of this program today, we'll have this on kfsk.org. You can hear all about planting potatoes.
Culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging. Every time I go out and pick me a bitch. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.
In the Garden on KFSK is brought to you by The Flower Farm. Open for the season with blooming pansies, pansy bags and baskets, and offering locally grown flowers, vegetable starts and herbs, as well as a variety of trees, shrubs, lilacs, and rhododendrons. The Flower Farm, open every day except Wednesday, 10 to 5, 6 Rory's Road, Papke's Landing.
Put them on the side, put them in the middle, put a homegrown tomato on a hot cake griddle. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'll life be without homegrown tomatoes?